Good morning. Welcome to Recreate Church, or the parking lot ministry, or the God's little lake on the corner. Or we just want to welcome you. We're going to get to a good time today about talking about Jesus and talking about maybe being a little bit fearful and knowing that there's going to be an answer today. Understand that you are welcome, wanted, and loved here. Just because we only meet on Sundays doesn't mean that there's people here that won't love on you all week long if you just ask them. And we appreciate everybody that's here, everybody that's listening from the parking lots and the freeways and the highways. And if you're out wandering around today and got your radio on, just turn us on. It's at 103.9 FM, and I just hope you have a good time today. We're going to start today by a little bit of prayer, and just pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, for this opportunity to gather together, to learn more about you. Lord, I must say that this day I'm desperate for you. I need you more than ever. Lord, in these times of trouble all around us, may we learn to look to you and see you. Lord, I pray that you would just meet us here, that your word might be presented in such a way that would be glorifying to the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, that your spirit might roam freely around this area. And Lord, that we might be obedient to all that you have us to do. We ask and we also pray for our pastor, who's filling up underneath the weather there. And I ask that you would just minister him and bless him real good today. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I guess you still got to, when you pray, you still got to close your eyes, it seems like. I didn't know for sure if you're outside, if it makes a difference or not, but I did it. I guess y'all did too. Today, I was wanting to talk a little bit about fear. And maybe a whole bunch about fear. I was thinking about when I was a young man. I mean, a kid, we moved into a new house. And I remember when I was young, the most dreaded thing in my whole life was at night going to the basement to get whatever I was told to go get. Now, understand, it wasn't that scary. But at night, there are monsters underneath the stairs that you walk down. And I would go down. The problem was that when you got down there, you had to cut the light on with a pull string. And so here it is. So I got this pull string that I've got to cut the light on with. That's no big deal. Going in the basement was not scary. Coming out of the basement, that was scary. Because that's when the monsters come out underneath the steps. And so what you would do, excuse me, not everybody, this is what I would do. I would grab hold of that string and I would get ready. And I would pull that string and I would run. Because whatever those monsters were, they were not going to be fast enough. And the thing is, I never got caught by that monster, ever. I never even saw that monster, but he was there, and I probably got hurt a lot more trying to run up those steps to the top because that's where the light was. I was running to the light. There's got to be a message right there, running to the light. But anyway, it's always scary in the darkness. Well, you'd think that as I got older that I wouldn't be scared, I was in my mid-20s, and a group of us used to go up to Bluefield. Bluefield at Grandma Puckett's house. We'd ride motorcycles. We'd take our motorcycles up to that place, to her house, and every day we'd wake up, and we would go and ride. And then we would come back and have supper. I still have really fond memories of that. But we used to, in fact, we used to ride over on East River Mountain. If y'all ever go up the 77, you go through East River Mountain. But that used to be a place, we called it 15 Creeks because you had to get across the creek 15 times. Oh, it was grand. It was a grand place to ride motorcycles. But if you ride motorcycles, you're going to be nasty dirty afterwards. And so we were staying with Ma Puckett. Now, in West Virginia, most people are going to heat with coal. In the basement was always a coal bin. And here it is. It's full of coal. And it's always kind of nasty looking down there, but that's where the shower was for dirty people, like people who rode motorcycles all day. And it was kind of dark down there. It was not well lit. I was a tough guy, you know. I'm not scared of nothing. I've been riding motorcycles all day, having fun. I got down there in that basement by myself and got in that shower. And I knew the monsters were down there too. I was a man, and I'm still thinking about the monsters. And let me just tell you, it is hard. It is hard to wash your hair with your eyes open. Because the monsters don't come unless you close your eyes. They can, if your eyes are open, they can't sneak up on you. I don't guess. I don't know. But I remember, I was there, and I was afraid, you know. And of course, you end up soaping your eyes and everything else because you got to watch for that monster, watch too many of those movies, you know. Think everybody gets gotten in the basement where the coal bin is, but it's funny how that's what I remember about some of those trips, about the fear. Now, the message is not really about fear today. No, it's about Jesus and what happens, and a scripture from Matthew that says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But yet, we're living in a time where we're scared to death. I mean, every corner that you go around right now is scary. And there's fear in the air. And the more fear that people can put in you, it seems like the more advantage that people can have on you. And it's, you know, it's, okay, here it is, election time, right? What happens if you vote for Trump? Well, we're all going to die. We're going to have riots in the street. And all of our finances are going away. And our health care is going down the tubes. Oh, my goodness. That's going to happen? Yeah, there are going to be riots in the street. Now, the other thing is, Biden, well, if you vote for Biden, he's going to raise taxes to destroy the military. Small businesses are going down the tube, and the stock market's going to be destroyed, and the world is coming to an end. What in the world are we going to do? Oh, Lord, no matter who I vote for, it's not good. I'm scared. And let me just tell you, every commercial you see on TV about these guys, they're talking about what's going to happen if you vote for the other guy. How terrible it's going to be. Your life is going to be terrible. I don't know. I was watching TV. Let me just tell you, there's an age when you get, and I'm there, and you'll watch TV in the mornings. Every commercial is directed to me. You know, they came up with diseases for me, and sicknesses for me that I didn't even have a clue about. You know, I never heard of such. They can't even say them because they have to use letters because of the words are so long, your problems. But they've got a medicine for you. And then at the end of the advertisement, they give you all the side effects. Oh, Lord, I'm going to die. I'm going to die from the side effects. I feel good maybe for a day or two, but man, then the side effects kick in, and I'm definitely going to die from that. But I realize that most everybody wants my money. You know, they want to sell me something that's going to make my life better because I have such a great need. I can't make it without whatever their product is, whatever their insurance is. I'm going to have the peace of mind. And it's all because I'm older now and they can prey on me. Oh, Lord, I'm scared. I'm real scared. Oh, on top of everything else, then you have a COVID-19. And now that people, normal people, brothers and sisters in Christ are wearing masks and look like they might hold you up. You know, because we can't identify them. We see somebody in the store and you don't know who it is. They'll pull their little mask down and say, it's me. But you know, it's a scary place now. And if you don't follow the rules, somebody's going to hit you with a stick. Forget COVID-19. The stick is coming. They're going to get you. And now they're kind of lightened up on that. But what happens now, all of a sudden you get to stay at home more than you've ever stayed at home before. And you get to worry about all of it. So, you know, the checkout girl at Food Lion, you get up to her in line, and you're going to wear her ear out. Because you hadn't talked to nobody in days. and you don't even know her name, but you know all about her, and she knows all about you. Because you haven't talked to anybody. You don't even know how to act anymore when you go out in public. Because you're desperate. You're scared and you're desperate. Oh, no. Lions and bears and tigers and lions, tigers and bears. Oh, my. The whole nine yards, you know, we're scared. And yet, you think all this is new. And then you have a hurricane and then an earthquake. And then you have every mountain is too tall and every river is too deep. Oh, my. What are we going to do? Well, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. That means seek God and his righteousness, and God's going to take care of you. What? Let me just tell you, this fear thing just didn't start yesterday. People have been scared since the beginning of time almost. I'm reminded of back in the book of Numbers 13 and 14. It's about a nation who has escaped, had been in almost like a prison. They had been slaves in Egypt for years, and Moses went down to Egypt because God told him to. Moses was afraid to go down there because he couldn't speak right. He didn't want to do it. Well, I'm going to send Brother Aaron with you, and he can help you talk. Okay. And just tell him I am sent, you know, just, okay. I'm afraid, but, okay, now we're going to tell the king that let my people go, Pharaoh, let my people go. okay. And so Pharaoh finally, after he is put into a full submission hold, WWE has nothing on Moses right here and God. And finally, Pharaoh lets the people go through pestilence and death and all those things. Man, scary time to live. Now, all of a sudden, the whole nation of Israel, and I've heard different numbers, 1 million people, that's a lot of people. You know, now they're running and they come to the Red Sea. And next thing you know, Moses lifts up that staff and the Red Sea opens up and come across. And now they're marching through the desert led by fire. And it's just a crazy time, but scary. Now this went on and on and on because these people were going to a place they called the Promised Land. The land that had been promised to them for years and years. Their forefathers had been promised this land, and now they were supposed to go, and they went through the desert and went through all the hardships of the desert crossing, and they get to the Jordan River. And so they say, hey, we'll send out some spies out here, and we'll see what this land really is like. See what we need to do. So they sent the spies out, 12 of them, and they went all out for 40 days. For 40 days, they saw everything. They marched all over the land, sneaking around in and out. Came back with a bunch of grapes. They always say the grapes were like between two, they took two men to carry them, and it was on a pole, and the grapes are bigger than whatever. And, you know, and they come back, and they're excited when they first get into camp. But they get to talking, you know, the milk and honey, grapes, fruit, land, wonderful things are in that land. But there's some big men there. There's some giants in that land, and there's some tough people, rough people. There's fortified cities. And the majority of the men said, hey, we can't do this. No, you can't. We can't do this. And of course, Caleb, he stands up and says, okay, everybody be quiet now. Listen, well, let's go in there. We can take on these people. No problem. God's going to go before us. Okay? So that night, the other guys went around the camp, started doing that talking. You know, that talking. The talking we do sometimes, talking we're doing about before the campaign, where we're going to put fear in everybody's heart, because these people will destroy us, they will eat us, they will take our women, they will enslave our kids, they were going to rape our wives, they're going to kill us, they're going to destroy us. Fear, and the people are crying, they're crying out, oh Lord. Why did you lead us out here just to die? and the whole camp, the whole nation was doing that. They were scared. Oh, like we're scared right now. And the thing is, they were saying, let's get rid of Moses. Let's go back to Egypt. Woo! Because we had it so good in Egypt? I don't think so. What's on the other side of the river? Oh, Promised Land. What's in Egypt? Oh, in slavery. And they're mad now because, you know, they got washed out by the Red Sea. And God let them out of there and didn't leave them out of there in a good way. So that's where they want to go back. They want to go back to the way it was. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, going back is never, ever the answer. God wants to lead us forward. He wanted to lead them forward. All they had to do is trust God. Oh my goodness. Trust God. We can't trust God. Who's God? We're going to trust God? You know, that's what we do. We think, we came, we might be here now, and everybody might agree with me. Oh, yeah, we trust God. but we're scared to death. Because everything's going to happen to us now. We don't know the future. We can't control our environment. Oh, we're going to have to trust God. Or we're going to be scared. We're going to be so afraid. Now let me just tell you, trusting God makes God happy. Not trusting God makes God angry. And let me just tell you how that's well, you kind of want to know about that story. Maybe you don't know it. Maybe you do. Maybe you know it much better than I do. After all these people were yakking and complaining, then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there, Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes, and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." They decide that fear was the right answer. God says, "You will pay for that. You will die in the desert." For every day that those spies were out in that land will be a day you'll wander around in the desert and you will die. If you're 20 years old or younger, you will not die. But if you're older, you're going to die out in this desert, and that's where you're going to lay, and your children will inherit the promised land. And let me just tell you, this is where the story got good. It sounds terrible. Yes, the people died. Yes, they did. They got to the bank of the Jordan once again, and God comes to Joshua, says, "Joshua, be strong, be courageous. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. I'm with you." And he repeated it over and over again. You can find that part of it in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. As Joshua was to lead these people into that land, he said, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law My servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Folks, let me just tell you, that's the message. That's the message we need to hear. Folks, I'm saying that same God that told Joshua to be strong and courageous is the same God that tells us during these times to be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, because fear is not of the Lord. God does not want us to fear what this world wants to give you. He wants you to live above it. Let me just tell you, Joshua led those people into the promised land. A river, a flood stage, stopped, built up. The people marched across with the covenant of God before them. They built monuments so they could come back and see what God had done. They'd come to a wall, a fortified city called Jericho. Woo! The walls came tumbling down. Oh, did they fight somebody? No, they marched. They were quiet and marched around the fortified city. Walls come tumbling down. Everywhere they went, they were victorious. There was only one town where they kind of got messed up. But God says, okay, let me tell you what to do. They finally said, okay, God, what should we do? And God said, okay, this is what we do. And they went in there and they won that battle too. They did lose 37 men in the process before they went before God and said, what should we do? Folks, we need to be saying, Lord God, what should we do? I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to be afraid anymore. What should I do? Yes, the mountains are tall. Yes, the rivers are deep. Yes, the world is just tough. It's tough out here. People don't like you. If you say you're a Christian, let me just tell you, most of the people around here don't like you. They don't want you to go in this building here. They don't want you to fellowship because there are a lot of strength when a bunch of Christians get together. And they're scared to death that Christians are going to rise up and be Christians and followers of God and do what God tells us to do. Yeah, they're afraid. We don't need to be afraid because God is with us. He is with us. Huh. So we go over. Oh, yeah. By the way, at the end of this book of Joshua, you know what they did? Oh, Joshua said, hey, you go do what you want to, but hey, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And he did it for all the days of his life. And the nation did it for all the days of their life. And they were prosperous. They did not have to fear. And Caleb, the one who stood way up in the camp, he was given a special plot of land. Because when God remembered Caleb, this is how he remembered him. Caleb has a different spirit about him. He follows me wholeheartedly. And even though he was a little older, now he's a lot older. And he said, hey, I am going to follow the Lord. And God, remember what you said? I get the special portion of land. Man, Caleb followed me wholeheartedly. Wouldn't that be great if God said that about each one of us? That we could, at the end of our lives, that God would look back and say, well done, good and faithful servant. You didn't fear. You followed me wholeheartedly. The monsters weren't going to get you anymore. They're not underneath the steps anymore. They're not in the coal bins anymore. Let me just tell you, I'm braver now. And let me just tell you, I can't win fights anymore. I'm got too old. I'm slow. And I could swing at somebody a couple times in a slow manner. But then I'd be wore out. They wouldn't have to hit me. Just let me swing a couple times. You know, it's terrible. But I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid anymore. You know why? Because I follow God wholeheartedly. It's the most important thing in my life. And I trust Him for everything. I am not fearful of what this world is going to do to me anymore. Because I follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Wow. I wish that I did it 100% of the time. But my heart is to follow God wholeheartedly. In the book of Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 4 and 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Folks, the message is right there. We're to humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways. Then he will hear from heaven and will forgive our sin and will heal our land. What a prayer. But it's a promise. God will take care of you. Psalms 40, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me, and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of a slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock. He gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. God is faithful. God is faithful. He will lift you up out of that miry pit. He will set your feet upon a rock. He will put a new song in your heart. Folks, God is real. My God, if the question was set out here today, and I said, how big is your God? I would hope that the answer would be, my God is big enough. My God is big enough. No matter who wins the election, no matter how many storms come into your life, no matter how big the obstacles are, my God is big enough. I am not big enough. I'm pretty big, but I'm not big enough to take care of things, but my God is big enough. My God is big enough. The question is, how about yours? Is he worthy to be trusted? Do you have faith that God will be able to take care of you? I would hope so. I would hope so. For God didn't just leave us out there to be on our own. Now, he said, you know, you can pick your own path here. There's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is destruction. Yeah. Or we can choose God. When you choose God, it's a process where you have to be sorrowful for how you lived, for your sins. You got to be sorrowful for that I've done wrong and I've been disobedient to you. You know, I haven't trusted you, God. And then you have to claim that promise. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved. We need to be rescued. If you're afraid, you need to be rescued. God says, he sent his Son to rescue us. To rescue you and me. We don't have to be afraid because our God is big enough. It's a matter of surrendering to him. Allowing him just to do what he said he's going to do. Our God is big enough. In Romans chapter 12. Romans, chapter 12. Where are the little thingamajiggers in there? Romans. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Oh, no! You mean I don't have to fear anymore? Because the world's telling me I need to be afraid. And that I'm not good enough. And I'm not going to make it. Except maybe if you do this and this and this, it never comes true. People don't really care about you that much. They really want what you have. They would rather you be fearful, and this world hates you, to be strong. Because strong means they have to do something about it. But let me just tell you, strong people bring in other people. They bring in other people because people say, those people are strong in what they believe. They trust God. What in the world is that all about? I want some of that. If you're out here today, and if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I'm telling you what, you need to be sitting back and saying, I want some of that. I want a bunch of it. I want all of it because I want my God to be big enough. So where does that leave us? Where does that leave us today? I don't know. I heard a commercial the other day and it said, I want what I want and I want it now. Well, let me just tell you, it only works if you want Jesus right now. The other stuff is going, you're going to be really disappointed most of your life because you're just not going to get it now. But let me just tell you, you can get Jesus right now and you can have a God that will go before you, that will take care of you, that will lead you, that will guide you. The last part of this message today comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 12, 13, and 14. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. There's the answer. I want that to be my testimony, but I want it to be your testimony. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You don't have to fear anymore. Be strong. Be courageous. For the Lord your God is with you. Be strong. Be courageous. Just trust God. Find that place where you can just trust God. Have faith in something that is bigger than the President of the United States. Trust God. And He will take care of you. Trust God, and He will take care of you. He wants to go before you. He wants to hold on to you. He wants to bring you comfort in times of need. He wants to calm the storms around you. He wants to lead you into the promised land. God loves you that much. Let me just tell you, Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way, and that's the truth. And that's the truth. Anyway, I think that we should take this time to pray. I hope that this has stirred your heart a little bit. I hope God was able to talk to you through all my shortcomings. And Lord, if we don't depend on God, it's surely not going to be me that's going to be able to take care of things. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time that we have had together. Now as we take Your words and ponder on them, and and mull them around in our minds and in our hearts. May we come out of this place or leave this place or wherever we are with a new attitude, one of strength and courage. Lord, I don't want to be afraid anymore. I don't want to be afraid of what's around the next corner. I don't want to be afraid of the monsters underneath the step. And I don't want to be afraid of the ones in the coal bin. Lord, I'm not big enough, but you are. I love you. Please work in our hearts. May we be softened up where we can receive your word in a proper way. May we have hearts that are ready to repent and to seek after you. Thank you for the good work that you have done here today and the good work that you will continue to do as you have promised. We ask and we pray and we beg these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Duncan's going to come up here and turn the music on. And I don't know if I went long or short, but I watched my watch a little bit.